Lord. I know he will.
Gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mom, and tell me what he's been to you.
Hi, this is Pastor Arthur LaValle with Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry, welcoming you to another opportunity to transform your life. Did you know that you possess the power and the responsibility to determine your future and destiny? Did you know that you are the sum total of the choices and decisions you make every day? However, the ability for you to make the right decisions for a life that will lead to your God-given destiny depends on your quality of knowledge. Self-development demands self-discipline. It is our desire to see your life transformed by the messages on these broadcasts. Prepare to receive as we join this opportunity to grow and expand as we inspire you and motivate you to achieve your greatest in God's purpose for your life. Sit back now and listen to a message that is designed to destroy ignorance and empower you to become an effective human on this planet as you inspire others to reach their maximum potential. Let us join the seminar in progress.
Persecuted, but not forsaken.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hey, mighty men, mighty women of the Most High God out there in radio land. Hallelujah. What an honor and what a privilege it is to come into your homes and your cars and your radios and just share with y'all the love of God and the greatest message that has ever been told. You know, it's the message of the Bible. You know, it's the gospel of the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. That's the greatest message that's ever been told. That's the story of the Bible. That's what the Bible is all about. The Bible is about a king, his kingdom, that's heaven, and his kids. That's all of us. That's mankind. The king, the kingdom, and his royal family. That's the children. Hey, that's what the Bible is all about. I say it again. It's about a king. That's the Most High God. King Jesus, that's the Most High God. And King Holy Spirit, that's the Most High God. The three entities of God, you know, he's the king. And he introduced himself as the king. The Bible says in Psalms, I think that's 24, open ye gates and let the King of Glory come to. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord Most High, the King of Glory. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord Most High. Hallelujah. He's the King of Glory. Who is the Most High God? That's Almighty God. He's the King of Glory. What glory? He's the King of Hell. He's the King of the universe. He's the King of Earth. He's the King of everything. And he's the King by reason of creation. He owns everything. He's the Lord by, the Lord means, Adonai means owner. He's the owner because of creation rights. You know, he created everything. And the first thing he created was a territory for himself. That's Hell. Hallelujah. That's his domain. That's his territory. That's where he rules and reigns there. You know what? That's the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. What's that kingdom? What's a kingdom? That's a king's domain, or the domain of a king, or the territory in which a king has power, control, and influence, impacting it with his will, his intent, and his purpose. Hallelujah. Hey, that's what a kingdom is, you know. It's a territory that's governed by a king. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And what's the kids? Hey, that's all mankind. God said, let's make man in our image and our likeness, and let's give them dominion over the earth. In other words, let's give them control and power and influence and kingship over the earth. The heavens belong to God, the Bible says, but the earth he gave to mankind. That's in Psalms 116, verse 15. What? The heaven and the highest heaven, that's the heaven where he lives at, you know, his domain, and all the universe that he created, that's the highest heaven, and the earth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the Bible says the heaven and the highest heaven belong to God, but the earth, a territory that's in the highest heavens, the universe, the earth, He gave that to us, right, to be our domain. Hallelujah. To be our territory, over which we were created in his image and likeness. What he is, he's the king. So if we created in his image and his likeness, then we're a little king. Hallelujah. And we can't rule in his territory. Only thing we can be in his territory is prince or princesses. But he wanted us to be kings. In order for us to be kings, then the king had to die. We know God ain't never going to die. So another way of making man his children kings, which are prince and princesses in heaven, is to provide for them another territory and put them in that territory and give them kingship or dominion or rulership or power, control, and influence in that territory. So that's what God did. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 50:45, he said God created the heavens, but he created it to be inhabited. How? By his people, by his children, by his kings. Hallelujah. So he created the heavens and the earth, and he gave the earth to us, and he created us from himself. When he spoke about us, he said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. He did that from heaven. And this is something about God. Whatever he wants, he speaks. And this is how he do it. He speaks what he wants to what he wants it made from. And what he speaks to what he wants it made from, they come out of what he wants it made from, exactly what he sees. Let me see if I can say that in a better way. First thing you do is decide what he wants. Then he decide what he wants it made from. First he decide what he wants. Then he decide the purpose for what he wants it for. Then he decide, man, what he wants it made from. Then he speaks. And he speak what he wants to what he wants it made from, and what he wants comes from what he wants it made from, exactly what he said. When he wanted the plants, he said, let the earth bring forth every living plant. When he wanted the beasts of the field, he said, let the earth bring forth the living creature. When he wanted the fish of the sea, he said, let the water of the earth bring forth fish. When he wanted the bird, he spoke to the earth. When he wanted everything that's on the earth, he spoke to the earth. But when he wanted you and I, listen, there's something else he did. When he wanted the heaven, he spoke to the firmament. Everything else he spoke that he wanted, he spoke that from the earth. He said, let the earth bring forth. Let the earth bring forth. And but when he wanted you and I, he spoke to himself. He said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. And let them, who is them? Mankind. Have dominion over what? The fish of the sea, where that comes from, the earth. The birds of the air, where that comes from, the earth. The cattle of the field, where that comes from, the earth. The grass and the trees and everything else, where that comes from, the earth. And then you say, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, everything that creepeth up on the earth, and over all the earth. So everything that he made from the earth and the earth itself, he say, that's your domain. That's your territory. Now you rule and you reign in that territory, just like I rule and I reign in my territory. And in you ruling and reigning in your territory, like I rule and reign in my territory, said the Lord, then it will be in your territory just like it is in my territory. And in your territory, in my territory, the only thing you can be is prince and princesses. But in your territory, then you can be kings. And I can be the king of kings. Hallelujah. And the Lord of lords. Because in your territory, hey, I give you the right to dominate the earth. I make you stewards of the earth. I make you manager of the earth. I give you the earth to have stewardship over. Why? So that you can make it in your territory just like it is in my territory. Hallelujah. So what is it about? It's about a king. It's about a kingdom. And it's about his keys. And what do you want, boy? What's his original idea? In his original intent, in his original purpose for making the earth? Hallelujah. Because he wants to establish his kingdom. He wants to extend his kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, to another territory. Hallelujah. That's why he created the universe and the earth. Because he wants to extend his governing influence of his territory, impacting it with his will, his intent, and his desire, producing a citizenry of citizens, boy, that's governing that territory that he gave them. It's called colonization. Hallelujah. When you take men, citizens from your territory, and you put them in another territory with a responsibility, boy, to make that territory just like the territory that they come from. Again, that's colonization, to colonize. That's God's original intent. to colonize earth with him, to make earth a colony of him. For what purpose, Doctor? So that the same thing that's going on in his territory can be going on in the colony. Hallelujah. And listen, his way of doing that, this is the most important part that we need to, that we come into. The way he, his strategy for doing that is to fill mankind up with himself in the person of the Holy Spirit, to fill mankind up with himself in the person of his word, to fill mankind up with himself. That's all the essence of God, the lifestyle of God, the character of God, the nature of God. What's his strategy there? He's to fill mankind up with himself. How do you do that? What the Bible say in Genesis chapter 1, he formed a body for man to live in from the dust of the ground. And he brought man down from heaven to earth. And then what's man? That's a spirit being, just like God. God is a spirit. He created us in his image and likeness. He's a spirit. So we have the same nature and the same character of God, the same ability of God, the same functioning principles of God, to act like God, to talk like God, to walk like God, to live like God, to be like God, be just like him. Jesus said, I thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And I come to show you on this earth that my lifestyle here on this earth is to show you how you're supposed to be, show you how you can live, show you what you can do, show you who you are. Hey, you're the son of God just like I am. Glory to God. You're the offspring of God just like I am. In other words, Jesus said, I come to show you you. Hallelujah. I couldn't show you what you're supposed to be doing on earth, ruling and reigning. Just like you see me ruling and reigning over every circumstance, every situation, every symptom, everything that confronts my life. You see me, it's not dictating to me, but I'm dictating to it. Hallelujah. Then that's how you're supposed to live too, just like I live. Hallelujah. Just like you see me live, and you can live. What you see me do, you can do. Just like the Father sent me, that's how he sent you. Hallelujah. And I come to show you, boy, what the devil stole from you. Your sovereignty, your dominion, your raw power, your territory. And not only do I come to show you, boy, who you are and what you've done, but I come to get your territory back, hallelujah, and pay the penalty for your rebellion against God's word and restore, boy, your sovereignty and your dominion and your raw power back to you. For what purpose? So that you can continue the original intent and plan and purpose and will of God for your life. But there, that it be in your life here on earth, glory to God, just like it is in heaven. Baby, that's because, hey, listen, that's what the Bible is all about, man. And listen, boy, and guess what, boy? What that Bible is all about was a king, his kingdom, his kids. What was it in his intent for his kids? To produce a citizen, a citizen on the earth, boy, that come from heaven, to do a citizenship. Citizenship in heaven and citizenship on earth. And boy, to make it in our territory just like it is in his territory. And boy, he give us, man, everything that we need to accomplish that. Jesus said, as the Father sent me, so I'm going to send you. How did the Father send Jesus? Full of the word of God, full of the Holy Spirit, and speaking and acting on the word of God. How did the Father send Jesus? Full of the Holy Spirit, and speaking and acting on the word of God. I'm going to say that again. How did he send Jesus? He was full of the Holy Spirit. The fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily in him. All of the Holy Ghost was in him. And what was he doing? He was speaking and acting on the word of God. And he came as a man, just like you and I. He took upon himself, boy, the nature of sinful man. God made a body for him to live in. Hallelujah. And put him on his earth, boy, in that body. You know the story about Mary and the virgin birth. Hey, that's a body with uncontaminated, without no blood in that, without no sin in that bloodline. Hallelujah. And in that bloodline, boy, God became a man. Emmanuel, God with us. And boy, he came for a purpose, like I told you, boy. He came to redeem our life from the destruction that Adam plunged us into by his willful disobedience to God's will in the garden. And boy, he comes to redeem us from that destruction and restore us back to God's original plan and purpose and destiny for our lives. What's that original plan and purpose and destiny for our lives again, Brother Arthur? Hey, boy, that's to fill you with himself in the person of his word, Jesus, and most important, in the person of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Listen, the Father finished his work. Then, boy, and during the process of his finished work, Well, the devil came in and tried to throw a monkey wrench in it, but they let the devil can do man to alter man what God has started and what God begun. The Bible says he who begun a good work on the inside of us, he's going to complete that. Okay, what the devil came in and did to Adam and Eve? God already spoke, man. Well, let's make man in our end of my life. You think what the devil come and did and deceived Adam and Eve can stop that word from going forth and from manifesting itself and coming into the reality and the fullness of it? Man, ain't a devil in hell, man, or a demon or nothing or nobody, man, can ever alter the word that go forth out of the Most High God's mouth. Boy, if he said it, he's going to do it. If he spoke it, it's coming to pass, baby. He's a man of his word, glory to God. Hallelujah. You serve a faithful God, boy. I'm going to say that again. If he said it, he's going to do it. And if he spoke it, it's coming to pass. Hallelujah. Nothing can alter the word that has gone forth out of his mouth. The Bible says it ain't going to return to him, boy, but he's going to accomplish everything that he sent it to accomplish, boy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus, boy. And again, boy, he gave the heaven, he gave the earth, man. He said, that's your territory. Now you rule and you reign. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus did when he was here, didn't he? He was ruling and reigning over demons, devils, sickness, disease, life, every circumstance, every situation, every symptom that confronted his life, man, he took authority over it. He ruled and reigned over it, man. And then he said this here to mankind, to us, his kids. Hey, the what should I do? You can do too. As I am, so are you. As the Father sent me, when I finish, I'm going to send you. How did the Father send him? Full of the Word of God, full of the Holy Spirit, and speaking and acting on the Word of God. And Jesus said, the same way the Father sent me, that's how I'm going to send you. Hallelujah. Full of the Holy Spirit, so that you can act on the Word of God. Speak and act on the Word of God. And then being full of the Holy Spirit, and then speaking and acting on the Word of God, you know what that's going to produce? That's going to produce glory. What's glory? Manifestation of the Word of God in our lives. Hallelujah. Because the Holy Spirit is going to take the word that we speak out of our lives and, man, manifest it on the earth. Just like he took the words of the Most High God that came out of his mouth and manifested it on the earth. Just like he took the words of Jesus Christ that came out of his mouth and manifested it on the earth. Same thing, boy, we endure with the Holy Spirit for too, to take the word of our mouth and manifest it on his earth too. Glory to God. The Bible say, boy, in Genesis chapter 1, the earth was, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was born and without shape. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of the Lord moved out on the face of the deep. What happened? The Spirit of the Lord, Holy Ghost, baby, moved on the scene. Glory to God. What are you waiting on? He waiting on, boy, the original idea that was in God's mouth. He waited on a precept. What's that? The original idea, the original thought of God. Hallelujah. What's the original idea and thought of God? That boy is being our life here on earth just like it is in heaven. Hallelujah. That's a thought. That's his precept. That's a thought then. That's an idea when it's in his mind and when it is his. What the Holy Spirit moving over the face of the deep for, he waiting for that thought to become a logos. What's a logos? A logos is, man, you know, a manifested thought, a spoken thought, a thought that's articulated. But that the logos is the spoken word of God, the spoken idea, the spoken thought. And when God spoke that precept, idea, and spoke that word, what was in his heart and mind, then the Holy Spirit took, boy, what God spoke, man, and brought it into manifestation. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Same thing with Jesus, boy. Jesus Christ, man, he's full of the Holy Spirit, and all the Holy Spirit waiting on him to do was speak, boy. And when Jesus spoke, baby, the Holy Ghost, boy, went to work, man, and took everything that Jesus spoke and brought it into reality. What's that, boy? That's the manifestation of the glory of God. That's the full expression of God's word. Not just the spoken word, but the full expression of it, the manifestation of it, man. How God doing all that, boy? Not by power, nor by might, but by my spirit, said the Lord. So once again, what's God's strategy for getting it, for colonizing earth, for making earth the colony of him? He got to send, man, you know, a representative from him. Hallelujah. That's us, and that's the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. To colonize this earth, this place called earth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So that's what he did, boy. He's in your Bible in the first and second chapter. And God formed man body, like we were saying earlier, from the dust of the ground. He released, and then he breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. What happened? God brought mankind down from heaven, because he created mankind in heaven. God is in heaven. Our Father, which art in heaven, and when he spoke to himself, he spoke to himself in heaven. And from himself came a little spirit being just like him, where in heaven with him. Glory to God. Then he brought that little spirit being down to the earth and formed a body for it to live in, and released it in that body. When he breathed in that body, the breath of life. Hallelujah. And listen to this. When he formed man's body and put the spirit of man in that body, and the Bible says he breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life. What's the breath of life, boy? That's the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. That's the Holy Ghost. That's the one who manifested the life on the earth. That's the one who manifested everything on the earth. That's the one who manifested everything that God said. Hallelujah. That's the Holy Ghost, baby, at work, man. Let me tell you something, boy. We know about a lot about our Father in heaven and his work. And we know a lot about the Son, Jesus Christ, a lot about him and his work and what he did and everything else. But the church today, man, it don't have the full understanding of the third member of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. Most things people know is that he's the third member of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and Holy Ghost. But you don't know his purpose. You don't know his work. You don't know what he's doing in the earth today. He's the most important person in the earth today. And his work is the most important work in the earth today. I'm going to say that one more again. He is the most important person in this earth, on this earth. Hallelujah. And his work is the most important work in and on this earth, boy. What he come to do? He come to bring life. That's what he do. He brings life. Totally gone. Hallelujah. What he do? He brings life. What he do? In the beginning was the word of God. In him was life. And the light was the light of man. What he going to do? He's going to bring the, what he's doing? He's bringing the light of the word of God into reality in the earth and in mankind's life. Hallelujah. Well, I told you, when God spoke, man, the Holy Ghost brought that into reality. When Jesus spoke, the Holy Ghost brought that into reality. When we speak, the Holy Ghost would bring that into reality, too, when you understand, boy, the power of the Holy Ghost and who he is. And what he sent to this earth to do. Listen, I said it earlier, the Father is finished with his work. Like I said, if he spoke it, he's going to come to pass. Hallelujah. You can't go back to him, Paul. Hallelujah. And so, hey, we say that the devil, even though he spoke, let make man our enemy, give him dominion, the devil came in Genesis chapter 3, and tried to, man, you know, rule over that word. yeah, devil in hell can man rule over the authority of God's word. And boy, but he might have tricked Adam and Eve, and they got deceived, and they lost their sovereignty, their authority, and their territory. But Jesus made a promise in Genesis chapter 3. He said, I promise you something, devil. Hallelujah. Hey, you done stole their life from them. You done separated them from me. They spiritually dead. But I promise you something, man. That same woman who you deceived, I'm going to use a woman too. Hallelujah. And I'm going to come back into this earth, and boy, I'm talking about it. I'm going to take back everything that you stole from them. Everything you did to them, I'm going to reverse it. Everything that you stole from them, man, I'm going to restore back to them. What he did to us, he separated us from the presence of the Most High God. He separated us from God. He separated us from the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, of God. Hallelujah. And Adam disobedient, that's what he lost. He lost the Holy Spirit. He lost his sovereignty, his dominion, his authority, his power, and his control, and his influence over the territory that God gave him. What else he lost? He lost the presence of the Most High God. Listen, the Holy Spirit can't live in the unclean temple. So when Adam disobeyed God, the Holy Spirit left. Hallelujah. Well, who is he? He's the one who brings manifestation to the word of God. He's the one who brings life to everything that God sees. So he left. Hallelujah. What happened next, man? You know, Adam and Eve got put out of the Garden of Eden. As the Holy Spirit left, they got separated not only from the Holy Spirit, but from the presence of the Most High God. That's what the Garden of Eden represents, the presence of the Most High God. That environment, that atmosphere, that God put mankind on, man, to rule and reign in the earth over. In other words, God planted that garden. It was a little carbon copy of him, just like him. And the Bible says, and there he placed the man, in that environment, a place called him. On the earth. We know it as the Garden of Eden. And from that place, He told the mankind, well, that is a fruitful, beautiful, it's a utopia, the perfect world, a perfect world, a perfect arrangement upon this earth. No sin, no disobedience, just man and his father, man, walking and talking, man, and fellowshipping together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, boy. That's unbroken fellowship. Can you imagine that? Walking and talking with God in the cool of the day, man. No sin, no disobedience, no separation. None of that, man. None of that like going on in the earth today. But walking in the literal presence of the Most High God day and night, communing and fellowshipping with him day and night, boy. Learning, man, his precepts and producing, man, concepts that's in line with his precepts, man, so that we could carry out our assignment on this earth. What's precept? That's God's original idea. What's concepts? That's a picture, that's an image of those original ideas. And what's the word? That's the spoken idea. That's the spoken thought. Call it logos, the spoken word. Hallelujah. And when it's articulated and when it's spoken, hallelujah, it produces life. The Bible says life and death is in the power of the tongue. You either speak in life, what the Lord say, or you speak in death, what mankind say, and what the devil say. Hallelujah. That's why God told Joshua, hey, Joshua, I'm going to take you back into you. I didn't deliver y'all from the bondage of the devil and his army and all his demon cohorts. And now, man, I'm going to take you through this wilderness experience so that I can do some renewing of your mind so that you can go over across the Jordan River into your inheritance, the promised land. But that's a type and shadow of what God had promised men at Deborah and Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3. Boy. I promise you something, Lord, that I'm going to redeem the mankind life from destruction, and I'm going to restore them back to the original place, plan, and destiny, and purpose that I had for their life. Everything you've done to them, baby, I deceived them and tricked them. Hey, I'm going to get that back for them. And not only am I going to get it back for them, not only am I going to regain it, but I'm going to restore it back to them. Listen, restore means to, if you have a book or something in your, just use for illustration. If you put a book on the mantle in your house, and the book, man, gets knocked off, or the book falls from off that mantle, and then you pick the book up and you place it on the carpet table, you didn't restore it, you replaced it. But when you put it where it was originally, on the mantle, onto the carpet table. But my restoration is when it fall off the mantle, then you put it back on the mantle. You put it back on the place where it originally was. That's restoration. That's the restore. And what God done, boy, not only did he regain the kingdom, and hallelujah, and the sovereignty and dominion that the devil took from Adam and Eve, but he restored it. He put it back, man, in his original place. He put it back in the hands of his original intent. He put it back in our hands. And I was, well, he gave it back to us. He not only regained our sovereignty and dominion, but he gave it back to us. He restored it back to who it rightfully belonged to. God said, let man have dominion over the earth. And in Satan doing, and Adam's rebellion against God's word, Adam gave that dominion over to the devil. Or the devil tricked him out of his authority and his kingship. Hallelujah. And boy, God come back, man, regained it. That's what Calvary's all about, boy. I'm talking about. And the resurrection is all about. And Jesus Christ going back all up to heaven is all about. Man, that's him coming to regain the original intent and plan and purpose for mankind's life that God intended from the very beginning. Hallelujah. And to regain it and to restore it back to us. Hallelujah. What? All of the kingdom of God and all of the kingdom of hell. For what purpose, Arthur? So that we could establish that in our territory. Establish what? The kingdom of God. What's the kingdom of God? What God is doing. And God's ways of doing what he's doing. What's the kingdom of heaven? That's the literal territory itself. The splendor of his territory. The glory of his territory. What's that? That's heaven. Hallelujah. That's the kingdom of heaven. It's a literal place. It's a literal country. It's unseen, but it's more real than this seen world that we live in, this seen earth that we live in. Why? Because it created this seen world. Hallelujah. And boy, God, man, wanted to be in this in this seen world, just like it is in the unseen world. Hallelujah. And like I say, his way of doing that, boy, is through his family of sons. That's you and I. What's our assignment? To be fruitful, to multiply, to replenish, and to subdue. What do you mean, man? Be productive in what God's purpose and will is for our life. Produce it. Hallelujah. And then multiply it, man. Hey, listen, not only produce it in this territory, this little garden of Eden where you are, but, man, I'm talking about produce it, multiply it, have plenty of offsprings. Make plenty more just like y'all. Hallelujah. And when they go to their spot on the earth, to their home, then they're going to be in their spot on the earth just like it is in this spot that they come from. Right. Yeah. That's represented on the earth as the Garden of Eden. So in that place, like we said, he put them in heaven on earth. I'm going to say it that way. What he did, he produced men a atmosphere and an environment on the spot on the earth for a moment that had an open door into the presence of the Most High God. That's the Eden. That's the same Eden in heaven. That's in the literal presence of the Lord. That's at the throne room of God. That's in the throne room of God. That's his place, man. That's in the literal presence of the Most High God. I ain't talking about worshiping him from afar. I'm talking about, man, worshiping him in spirit and truth, in his presence, where he is. Hallelujah. The Bible said there will come a time where, man, God ain't going to worship in the mountain or in Jerusalem. Why? They're going to worship him in spirit and in truth. Where, boy? In the kingdom of heaven. So he produced that on the earth. That is the written intent. The kingdom of heaven, he produced on the earth. We know it as the Garden of Eden. And there he placed a man way in heaven on earth. And from that place, he told him to be fruitful and multiply. And then not only produce a whole lot of children, but replenish the earth. And then not only make a whole lot of children, but boy, I'm talking about subdue it. What that mean? Master it. Control it. Influence it. How to rule over it, have dominion over it, subdue it. But boy, why? Because that's your territory. You're the king of that territory. You're the ruler of that territory. You're the master of that territory. You're the manager. You have the stewardship over that territory. What you give it that for, Lord? Because you can make it in your territory just like it is in the territory that I created you from. Here, how am I going to do that, Lord? I'm going to fill you with all of me. I'm going to fill you with the word of God. And I'm going to fill you with all of my essence. All my power, all my ability, all my authority, all my sovereignty, my character, my nature. I'm going to fill you with all of that. How are you going to do that, Lord? Hey, I'm going to breathe into your nostrils the breath of life. Who is that? That's the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. That's the one who do the work. I'm going to breathe into you, boy. I'm talking about all of my power, all of my essence, all of my character, all of my nature, all of me. I'm going to breathe into you. I'm going to place my Holy Spirit in your spirit. Right? So, yes, you can be endowed with the power to do what you need to do. So now you got everything that you have need of. You got my word, and you got the Holy Spirit. You got all of me living in you. Now, on your way, on your mark, get set, go. Go do what? Go be fruitful. Go multiply. Go replenish this earth, fill the earth, and go subdue it. Hallelujah. Go master and control it. Go make it in your territory, the whole earth, just like it is in my territory. That's what we've been praying all our lives. Father, what? Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done. Where? On earth. How? Just like it is in heaven. That's the first thing God tells us to pray. That's the first request. That's the first petition. That's why a lot of our prayers is they get an answer, but we not receive. Why? Because you pray, but you pray amiss. You pray for houses and cars and land and money and sickness and disease and all of that. Those are prayers of thanksgiving, not prayers of petition. The first thing, the priority, the first request, the first petition is, Lord, let your kingdom come. What's his kingdom? What he's doing and his way of doing what he's doing. Lord, I want to know you. I want to know, just like David said, Lord, I want to know what's in your heart. I want to know what's in your mind. Everybody else praying for miracles and like I say, and food and money and bills prepaid and all that. The Bible says your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all those things. He created you. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Why? Because all them things that you're asking God for, that's where it's at. It's in that place. It's in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. He said, your father knows that you have need of all these things. You don't have to take no thought what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, how you're going to pay this, how you're going to pay that. Just get in the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God and his way of saving you. His way of putting you in right standings with him. His way of, man, you know, protecting you. He's your source and your sustainer. His way of sustaining your life in the earth. Not your ways. You can have some good ways and some ways that seem right to man, but the end leads to destruction. Why? Because it's only what the Lord doing that's going to prevail. When it's all said and done, I can tell you, boy, what he said, he's going to have. If he spoke it, it's coming to pass. If he said it, he's going to do it. If he spoke it, I say it again, it's coming to pass. That's the kingdom of God, boy, seeking what he's doing and getting in on what he's doing. Now, if you seek what he's doing, if you ask him and pray our Father, what you doing? Not my will, but thy will be done. Not my kingdom, but thy kingdom come. But you asking, boy, for God to come into your life, man, and let his will be done in your life. Hallelujah. If you asking for that, instead of asking for land and cars and money and houses and helping with this and helping with that, no, asking, man, you know, to come into your heart and come into your life and let him and do what he want to do in you. Ask him, man, how can you help him establish what he wants in our lives here on earth? Instead of going to him and telling him, boy, what we want him to do for us, go to him first and say, Lord, what can I do for you? That's how you ask. What you need me for, Lord? What your plan and purpose is for my life, Father? How can I help you, Lord, fulfill what you're doing? Let me know what you're doing, and let me know how I can help you, man, accomplish your will and your intent and your desire. Help me, instead of me trying to get you in on what I'm doing, even what I'm doing for you, no, Lord, help me to get in on what you're doing for me. That's asking and seeking, man, the kingdom of God. You want to say, hey, listen, if you ask, you'll receive. After you ask him for that, now you think you're going to say no? You think if you ask God to save you, you think you say no? If you ask God to heal you, you think you say no? If you ask God to help you, you think he say no? If you ask God, man, to deliver us, you think he say no? Somebody, he say, if you ask, you'll receive. But what I got to do next? How do you ask, man? You got to seek, man, your healing. You got to seek your salvation. You got to seek your deliverance. You got to seek your provision. You got to go after that, in other words. You got to pursue that. You got to study that. You got to... Man, you got to make that your number one priority. God say, seek first the kingdom of God, not second, not third. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything that you have need of is going to be added unto you. So if you ask God, man, what you doing, Lord, and how can I help you doing what you're doing? He's going to tell you, boy, study, definitely say, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And if you seek, you're going to find. Hallelujah. I'm going to say that again. Say, first ask, and you shall receive. That's your first petition. Lord, what you doing? I can come and tell you what I'm doing for you and then ask you to help me to do what I'm doing for you. But no, Lord, let me reverse that. What you doing? And how can I help you accomplish what you doing? What's your purpose for my life? What you want from me? What you created me for? What's your intent and your desire and your plan and your purpose for me? How can I help you? What can I do for you? That's your petition. That's why a lot of our prayers are not answered, because we go to God and tell God what we want him to do for us. That's in the prayer, but you got it out of order. You got to listen. God is a God of order. You got to follow, man, the protocol, man. The proper way to pray. The disciples, man, saw Jesus pray, man, all the time, man. The Bible says he would go and pray a great while before day, and then he would come back, man, and then when he would go out, man, among the people, he cast out devils, healed a sick man, called the lame to walk, the blind to see, the dumb to talk, man, delivering people from the bondage of Satan, demons, and everything else, raising the dead, man, and walking on water. What are you doing, man, ruling and reigning? He wasn't praying then. He already prayed. And boy, when he prayed, he came out manifesting, man, the word of God. And the disciples saw something. They say, I know this song. Right. When the Pharisees pray there, they take a long time. They pray and pray and pray and pray, and don't seem like nothing happened. When Jesus prayed, man, he come back out, man. As soon as he come back out, man, I'm talking about blind eyes start opening. Deaf ears start hearing. The lame start walking. The dumb start talking. The dead be raised to life again. Demons and devils, man, tremble, man, at the sound of his voice. He walk on the waters, man. He speak to the winds and the waves, and they obey him, man. And they say, and all he got to do is speak the word. And they noticed Jesus for a while. They say, every time he come out of prayer, he go and, the Bible says, a great while before day, he go and pray. A great while before day can be anywhere between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning. And he go and pray 3-4 hours in the morning time before day. And then when he come back out, he wasn't praying then. He was decreeing and declaring. What he was doing, decreeing and declaring. What he was doing, he was full of the Holy Spirit and speaking the word of God. And when he spoke the word of God, the Holy Spirit took what he said and brought it into manifestation. How are you doing that, boy? He's fellowshipping with his Father. And the disciples say, Lord, teach us how to pray like that. Teach us how to pray, man, so that when we come out of prayer, we can decree a thing and declare a thing, and it'll be. Hallelujah. 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 Well, that's the authority that God gave us. I told you, boy, he was full of the Holy Spirit and acting on the word of God. And when he was acting on the word of God, he was speaking the word of God. And when he spoke the word of God, he wasn't praying for the sick. He was telling the sick, rise, take up your bed and walk. He was telling the sick, man, go wash in the pool of Siloam. He was telling the sick man, hey, go dip, man, in the Jordan River. He was telling the sick man, hey, glory to God, you are healed. All your sins are forgiven you. He wasn't praying for him. He was decreeing and declaring. And boy, when he said it, he told a man at the pool of Bethesda, he said, do you want to be here? The man said, yeah, but I ain't got no help. Nobody help me over there getting the pool. Jesus said, rise, pick up your bed and walk. He wasn't praying for him. He was decreeing and declaring the thing. He was calling him healed, even before the manifestation of it. He said, rise, take up your bed and walk. The man couldn't walk. What Jesus was doing? Man, he was praying, man, the word, the will of God, man. Say the word, the Bible say, boy, by his stripes, he was healed. The Bible said God created us in his image, his likeness. He ain't sick. He ain't lame. He ain't dumb. He ain't blind. He ain't none of that. So God, Jesus was praying for him, oh, Father, help him in bed. Now Jesus say, rise and take up your bed and walk. The man rose, took up his bed and walked. Well, he decreed it and declared it. And boy, the Holy Ghost gave that man all the ability that he need to rise and take up his bed and walk. 10 lepers came to Jesus. And they said, Lord, if thy will, thou can make us clean. And Jesus said, he didn't pray for him, oh, Father in heaven, please take this leprosy off of me in the name of Jesus. No, he said, listen, go show yourself to the priest. Listen, the only way a leper would go show himself to the priest if he was already healed. He go show himself to the priest, man, with the leprosy on him, man, they're stoned. What was Jesus doing? He was calling them healed even before, man, the manifestation of it. He was calling things that be not as though they were. He said, go show yourself to the priest. I told you that's the only way they could get back into the community. Otherwise, man, they were in leper colonies, man. They were abandoned from the community. They were coming to the community, they'd be stoned to death. And boy, the only way they could get back into the community, they had to get healed of the leprosy first, and then go show themselves to the priest. And when the priest see them, man, cleansed, then he will give them a bill of decree stating that they are cleansed from that leprosy so they could come back into the community, man, amongst the people. Jesus told them, go show yourself to the priest. With the leprosy all still on. And Bible said they just obeyed his command. And as they went, as they started toward the priest's house, they was made whole. When they started, man, they had the leprosy still on them. By the time they got to the priest's house, man, they was healed of the leprosy. What was Jesus doing? He was calling things that be not as though they were. So he was just speaking, man. He wasn't praying for them. I told him, he said, go show yourself to the priest. What? Hallelujah. Go be healed. And as they went, the healing was manifested for him. He wasn't praying for them. Father in heaven, please heal them of this leprosy so they can go to the priest and show themselves so they can get back into the community. Now Jesus called them healed already. Hey, listen, go show yourself to the priest. Glory to God. And as they went, they was made whole. Hallelujah. So by the time they got to the priest's house, I said again, all the leprosy was gone. And they all of them got the bill of decree cleansed. Otherwise, they had a tag on them, unclean. Now they got the degree from the priest, cleansed. Now they could go back into the community and live their regular lives out in the community again. Put that altar boy, that's God displaying the will of God for our lives. That's Jesus displaying God's will for our lives. For that we saved, that we healed, that we provided for, and that we delivered from every snare or trap of the devil. And no weapon, even if it don't seem that way when you start off at first, man, isn't that don't mean that God's word ain't gonna manifest itself. You just stay steadfast, unmovable, abounding in the will and the word of the Lord. And I guarantee you, boy, God not mark, whatsoever man sow, there shall he reap. See, a lot of times, man, we get into the act on it, man, and we get impatient. We don't see it, man. We pray and we don't see something manifested, man, in the time that we need it to be manifested in. Then, man, we think it don't work. You know, the largest, you can put on, invite a power speaker to your church, man. You can fill the church up, you know. A dramatic speaker, you know, that has the charisma to speak God's word and stir up your emotion and everything else. You can fill up the church. You can have a concert and invite some famous singer, gospel singer, man, and you can fill up the church. You can have great Sunday services, man, and you can fill up the church. But call a prayer line. Call a prayer night. And, man, only a few of the people come to church. That's the least attended thing, service that's in the church. Or prayer night, a prayer line. You call a prayer night, man, you got, you know, few members come to the church. You call, man, a concert, everybody come to the church. You call Sunday service, everybody come to the church. On Tuesday or Wednesday night, Bible study, a lot of people come to the church, not all. But on prayer night, that's the less attended meeting than all of them. Because, boy, the devil don't never want you to understand the power of prayer. What's the power of prayer, boy? That's you speaking God's word. Why that's important? Because the Holy Ghost needs that. He needs the word of God. He needs the word of God to act on. He needs the word of God to manifest it in our earth. That's what he needs. That's why God instituted prayer, man. Right. So that he can get involved in our affairs here on the earth. Without that, he can't. He said, let's give them dominion over the earth, power, control, and influence. So he can't come in this earth and start usurping authority and dominion without our permission. Why? He would be violating his word. He didn't say, let us have dominion. He said, let us create man in our image. He didn't say, let us have dominion in the earth. He said, let us create man. But let them, who? Mankind. So he excluded himself. He said, let them be the rulers of their territory. Let them be the king of their territory. Let them, man, dictate what happened in their territory. Hallelujah. We want to blame God for everything that happened in our territory when we the one who turned our world into what it is here today. It wasn't God. It was us who committed high treason in Adam that gave aid and support to our enemy, the devil. Hallelujah. And he stole, man, our sovereignty from us. But I told you, boy, like I say, man, you can't stop what God man, can alter the word that have gone forth out of God's mouth. If he said it, I believe it. He's a man of his word. He can't lie. Hallelujah. And since I believe it, then I speak it. And since I there you say, if we believe, you speak. If you speak, then you act on it. And when you act on it, I guarantee you, baby, it's coming to pass. I just like planting the seed, watering it, cultivating it, looking over it, and in due season, it's going to produce what you planted. If you plant an apple seed, you don't just plant it in the ground and just leave it there. No, you watch over it. You cultivate it. You water it. You take care of it, man. And, boy, it starts growing, man. A little bit of tender shoot, then the blade, then the ear, then the comb. Hallelujah. So it's a time to sow, it's a time to cultivate, and it's a time to reap. Sometimes when we sow our words, man, that they listen to plant the word of God into our lives, then, man, we got to cultivate it. We got to watch over it. We got to guard it. We got to water it. We got to take care of it. We got to get, man, what you mean cultivate it, man? You got to put water on it. And you got to take care of the weeds and everything else that comes alongside with it. You got to put some insecticide on it. Just like them farmers do, boy. They got weeds and bugs and everything else that go along with their plant. Now they come through there and put that insecticide on there to destroy all the adversaries of the crown, the weeds, the bugs, and everything else that come to try to stop your inheritance or your crop from producing, man, in abundance. Let's cultivate, watering, man, weeding, and taking care of gardening. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because you know something, what? In due season, you're going to reap if you follow the instructions, if you don't faint, if you don't cave in and give up and quit because you don't see it, man, right then. Now, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work and the word of the Most High God. And in due season, boy, you plant, you cultivate, you water, you take care of. In due season, Bible says, be not deceived, God not mocked. Whatsoever man sow, that shall he reap. What you mean so? Whatsoever man speak, that's what he's going to have. Life and death is in the power of the tongue, I told you. And a word is an articulated thought, a spoken thought. And when it become when it's a spoken thought, then it become a word. That's the seed. What's the ground? That's your heart. In the Bible, when you see the word heart, man, that's the Hebrew meaning for that is your mind, your subconscious mind. Your conscious mind and, most important, your subconscious mind. When you plant the ground, that's in your mind. Then when you water it and cultivate it and continue seeing it, then it's getting past your intellect, getting bent down into your spirit being, into your subconscious mind. But when it come out of, and from the abundance of the heart, the Bible say the mouth will speak. And from the good treasure that's in his heart, he's going to bring forth good things. And it's an evil thing that's in your heart and your life, then that's what you're going to do. Let me tell you something. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. You're going to have what you say. In fact, that's what was going on. We're having what we say. I don't feel too good. Hey, that's why you don't feel too good, man, because you're accepting every thought, every imagination that comes from the body, from the devil, from the doctor, and everything else. When the Bible says, boy, by his stripes, we heal. If you get that abundantly in your mouth, boy, every time a sickness or a disease or something like that come up on you, first thing come out your mouth is, man, by his stripes, I'm healed. Hallelujah. But boy, we say what the circumstance, situation, and symptoms say. I don't feel too good today. The doctor say I got high blood pressure. The doctor say I got this. I got cancer. I got sugar diabetes. I got that. Guess what, man? You having what you say. I don't know how I'm going to get a job. I don't know how I'm going to make it. I don't know how I'm going to pay these bills today. I got a whole bunch of bills, man. I ain't got no money to pay them, man. I don't know what I'm going to do. Woe is me, man. You're going to have what you say. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. I don't think I can make it. I don't think we can win. I don't think we can do that. We can't accomplish that. The Bible says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. All things that pertains to life and God. How you got to do that, man? How you going to get that out? Hey, you got to speak that. Glory to God. That's what Adam and Eve did. They spoke, man. They were speaking the word of God. They were naming all the animals. Whatever they spoke, boy, that's what it was. What are you saying, Arthur? I say it again. The Holy Spirit needs, boy, that's what he's waiting on. He's waiting on the word. And when we speak the word of God in our lives, what God say about our circumstance, situation, etc., instead of saying, I don't feel too good today, hey, by his stripes, I'm healed. They start saying, I don't know how I'm going to make it. My Father, which in heaven, he's my source. He's my sustainer. He supplies every need that I have need of. Hallelujah. What you going to say, boy, when sickness and disease, high blood pressure, and all them symptoms, the doctor and everybody else starts saying this about you, man, from the circumstance, situation, and symptoms that confront your life, you going to line your words up with what they say or what the body say, or you going to line your words up with what the Most High God say? I'm going to say it again. Be not deceived. Go on that, Mark. Whatsoever man sow, that shall he reap. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. You speak the word of God, boy, over your life, over your circumstance, over your situation, over your symptom, over everything in your life, boy, then that's what the Holy Ghost is going to take and manifest in your life. That's what he's waiting on. That's what he's hovering over. That's what he's in our life to do. What? To bring us in remembrance of everything that Jesus said and spoke of and then bring it into manifestation in our lives. What he needs, he needs the word. What you do today, Arthur, I'm sharing with you, man, about what the most important person on the earth. Who is that? That's the Holy Spirit.